All right. Welcome, 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 everyone. You are here for a big night for us. Welcome to LHON Live, August 2024. Believe it or not, we have some first-time callers and some very veteran callers. And by very veteran callers, we mean some people who are on their 100th LHON Live call, because that is what we are celebrating here tonight. So I want to recognize that milestone. We will spend a lot of tonight's call talking about what the past 100 calls have meant to Jessica and to me. But before we get into all of that, we're going to do our usual intros. My name's Andy Marks, calling tonight from Hoboken, New Jersey, joined by Jessica. You want to say hey, Jess?
Hey, everyone.
To give everyone the same background we've been giving for 10 years. Actually, I said 100 calls. I don't know why I said that. We're well over 100 calls. We are at our 10-year anniversary tonight of the first LHON live call ever. So to give everyone a little background, many of you have heard this story countless times at this point in time, but in June of 2014, Jessica and I were attending what was the first LHON conference for both of us, where the two of us met and also met Maria Johnson. And the three of us quickly realized how beneficial the community that exists at an LHON conference was. We realized, yes, it's beneficial to see the presentations, to learn about the technology, to learn about the news in the medical world that could be addressing the needs that we have as an LHON community. But it's just as valuable, and in some ways more valuable, to just connect with other people in this community. Yes, it's true that a lot of us live very unique lives as compared to others in our immediate vicinity, in our family, in our neighborhoods, in our cities and towns. But our lives share so much in common with others in the LHON community. And that fosters so much, tight-knit community, so much of a tight-knit community amongst us, so much that we can share and benefit from and just, grow together. So we wanted to do everything we could to spread that benefit of an LHON conference throughout the year without always having to go to Pittsburgh, although we loved our time in Pittsburgh there in the summer of 2014. So a couple months later, in August of 2014, we had our first LHON live call. Since then, to give you a little more background than we normally do, that first call has led to monthly calls every month since then. It's led to over two dozen affinity group calls, is what I will refer to them as, that are either regional based or affinity group based for smaller communities within LHON, the LHON community at large. Our history of this call has taken us any number of places. We initially began by having guest speakers. We talked about very specific topics on every call. We bring in news topics relevant to the month. More recently, we've used this call to do lots of different things, whether that's guest speakers, news, things that are on our minds or on the minds of those in the LHON community every month. You've been grown accustomed to hearing Jessica and I talk a lot over these calls, and some of that may be changing. But we are very excited to be here with all of you. And if you can't hear, I have a big smile on my face because I'm very proud of everything we've done. And we're going to talk about a lot of that over the next hour. So with that background in mind, I'm going to say the two pieces of kind of admin work, if you will, housekeeping, that we often share, although these rarely become an issue. But there are a few areas of interest that often come up, but that we may steer the conversation away from. Those are be very strict medical advice, employment advice, legal advice. If those things come up, and I want you to feel comfortable asking any question, but if we think your questions are better suited for professionals rather than the amateurs like myself on this call, we may make sure to get you that information off the call. But otherwise, as we say in the post for these LHON live calls, these calls are for you, regardless of how you found yourself here or found yourself being part of the LHON community. So we want it to be as beneficial to you as possible. With that, Jessica, welcome and how are you?
Thank you so much. Fantastic intro, Andy. And yeah, it's what is it, August? It's pretty exciting. It's cooling down here in Denver, which is pretty lovely. I could use a little bit of cool down. I think I'm ready for fall, but otherwise doing great. What about you?
I similarly am enjoying a cooler day or two here. It's been very rainy in the Jersey area with a lot of floods here on the East Coast. So thinking about everyone from Florida all the way up to Vermont that may be struggling with some of that, but hope everyone's doing okay and hanging in there. I'm doing very well. As I said, I'm super, super proud. And I'm excited to kind of talk through some of this with you. So, just to let everyone know, Jessica and I will kind of chat here for a little bit on the call, but really will welcome a lot of you to join that conversation as well, especially those who've been on these calls before, because we will be talking about the impact of these calls and what they mean to people. And then we're happy to address any specific questions that are on the minds of anyone, whether this is your first call or your 100th call or 121st call even. Jess, do you want to kind of walk us through some history of LHO and Live in your mind? I can't hear you. I don't know if you've muted yourself. I know you're very accustomed to hearing me talk through the history every month because I give the same spiel, but I thought we'd walk through some milestones.
My screen shows you're muted.
Jess, are you muted by chance? I don't know if you're on your phone or swipe, but I'm happy to kind of kick things off. I'm going to give, pardon the wait, everyone. I don't want to move on without Jess, but if you give us 30 to 45
seconds. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Perfect. Thank you.
Ooh, perfect. Ooh, I think it's a Zoom glitch. I was on one screen and unmuted, but you know, I wanted to wait till the 10-year anniversary to have a, you know, mute, unmute issue. Wouldn't be a successful meeting without it.
Of course.
Awesome. Well, gosh, it's so exciting. It's exciting to be here. 10 years later is so crazy. And I was listening to some old Zoom calls today, and I think I might say a little less 10 years later than I did back in the day. And it's just cool to kind of see how much this call's evolved and the people that have kind of held onto the roller coaster with us and talked through their LHON journeys. And kind of as we've listened and learned and leaned on each other, it's been really cool to just be able to look back and grow so much individually and collectively together. So it's kind of crazy. We started like looking at numbers and just trying to break down to be able to even commemorate the 10-year anniversary well enough. And I think we got some fun stuff we can start throwing at each other.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I already said this is our 121st call, I believe. We haven't missed a month, although occasionally we are not the first Wednesday of the month like we typically are. A few other stats to walk through here. I mean, a lot of these, I will recognize that these are estimates to the best of our knowledge. In some cases, in other cases, they are fairly factual. So the 121, I feel pretty good about. In terms of number of recordings, I think we have more like 115 recordings of calls that we've made. Looking back, the first recorded call was actually January of 2015. Just mentioned that we went through a bunch of those earlier calls over the last month, listening to things. We would love to have brought you a sizzle reel of the fun moments from LHON calls over the last 10 years. I think one of the things that made Jess smile was the fact that on many calls over the years, I have announced what number call it is, all the way from call number like 7 or 9 up to 121 tonight. So just thanks for being here so much, everyone. A few other things. I mean, Jess, do you want to kind of talk through an estimate of how many minutes we've been on the phone at this point in time?
Yeah, I think we kind of, well, actually, I would say I think we estimated about somewhere between 7,000 and 9,000 minutes that we've been on the call. And I got to preface that Andy's our numbers guy. He does market forecasting in his day job. So when I'm like, "Ooh, Andy, this is the perfect number." Andy's like, "Well, this isn't the exact." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, this is the numbers guy." So we're using ranges only because this is his jam. Because I would have like boldly said probably 9,000, but I think going back to Andy kind of talking through in every call saying it's our 100th call, like some of my favorite moments looking back at some of these old calls were Andy, like sometimes you were counting. You're like, okay, well, this was, we've been going for 4 years. So that's like 48. And so you are like counting in some of the calls, how many calls that we've had. And it was just a blast. Like if we would have done bloopers, it would have been that, like Andy counting how many calls that we've done throughout the last 10 years, which is pretty fun.
There are
9,000 minutes.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's pretty exciting. I know the calls have ranged from just under an hour to well over 2 hours at times. So yes, somewhere in that minute range. I mean, we've done, as I said, we started with guest speakers. We had somewhere between, I don't know, at least 38 guest speakers, maybe approaching twice that many in some ways. Thank you to everyone who was a guest speaker. I heard maybe the name of one or two at the beginning of this call who were guest speakers in our early days. I want to thank you all for that. Sorry, I just lost my screen. But yes, we talked about the number of callers. I mean, our calls have ranged from high single digits, low double digits, all the way up to 40 or approaching 50 callers some night. So thank you for everyone who's been there for those. Walking through a couple other fun things. I mean, there are lots of things that have happened in Jessica and my life over the past 10 years. I know we've both lived in a few different places. We both added dogs to our lives, no kids in either of our lives. I don't know if we would have expected that a decade ago. Other highlights you want to highlight, Jess?
Ooh, we thought it was funny that it was actually, there's only been two call-in numbers over 10 years, which is pretty incredible. Like 10 years later, we've actually only used two calls. And this Zoom call, I think, has been pretty strong for at least, seven, 8 years. Of that, we used SoundConnect kind of before Zoom was as cool as it is. So that's kind of crazy, just two calls later. But yeah, to the kind of think, I'm like, ooh, two dogs later and how many moves, how many apartments and how many places later have we been in to be able to kind of be bringing this call every single month has been pretty cool. It was cool to reflect on.
Really was. No, I know when I think about joining this call, I think about places I've done it from the Florida Keys to Colorado to Phoenix and Florida and North Carolina and New Jersey and New York City. I know you've done some things. Anything you want to highlight before we kind of jump into topics and things that we've talked about over the past 10 years a little bit?
Ooh, I would say like one of the fun things I think would be to talk about is like our craziest stuff, like most fun spot we've taken a call. I actually remember I was living in Tucson, Arizona at the moment. And this was, gosh, probably 2017. And I think I was hosting the call and I took paratransit at that time. And so I lived 6 miles from where my office was to where my house was 6 miles, same street. However, in Tucson, Arizona, it is like 6,000 degrees outside. So I couldn't walk home, and 6 miles is kind of quite a bit of walking when you have like a big work bag and all that. So the window that I had for paratransit was a 2-hour window. And so it was like, do I sit in this empty building by myself for 2 hours at 7 p.m. at night once the call's over? Or should I just like roll the dice and see if I can get home before the call, knowing that like that 2-hour window was definitely going to overlap this call? So I was like, oh man. Of course, the bus shows up like literally the second I'm about to like begin to like kick off the call. And I think this was before like AirPods too were really all that great. So I'm like plugging one ear, trying to talk to the other, trying to like mute on mute so like you couldn't hear like the rattle of the paratransit, like terrible quality bus as I was going through, which was pretty hilarious. So that was probably like, I think one of the funniest times. And I would say the other one is I thought I could go for a walk and walk the dog. And at one point you were like, are you in a wind tunnel, Jessica? Like, where are you? So I had to like tuck into like some like corner so I could like finish up the call, which was, that was pretty funny. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, I know I mentioned taking a call from Florida Keys. I know that was a call that I told you I likely wasn't going to be there for. And then I ended up joining about 45 minutes in. That was either right after I got engaged, got married. I don't know when that was, but I do remember where I was. So it was somewhere there in the summer 22-ish or 2021, somewhere in there, 2021, 2022. So deep in the into past COVID or past the beginning of COVID rather. I think one thing we wanted to kind of chat about a little bit here is kind of like where our minds were when we kicked off this call a decade ago and how our thoughts about the impact of this call and or the goals or objectives of this call are different today than they were a decade ago. So I'll kind of pose that question to you. What were we trying to do in your mind 10 years ago? And what are we, how has it changed?
Gosh, I would almost say it hasn't. I would say my knowledge and kind of what where I am in life has been different. Other than that, I feel like it's pretty similar. So I remember leaving conference and I was on like this complete conference high. I had been diagnosed a couple years before and obviously knew that conference was coming. And so tried to like, as we all do when we're first diagnosed, right? Like there's so much we kind of have to relearn and like teach ourselves. And so joining these calls or not joining these calls, like wanted to like just get to know community. And so leaving conference, you're on this complete high because you're all of a sudden you're surrounded with people that totally get it. And you're doing the same things that they're doing. You're looking at your phone close. You're wondering if you should be using a cane for the first time. Like all these new first things, all these people are doing for the first time as well. And you instantly felt, or I instantly felt like I had a place and I, as Maria says often, like that I belonged and that like all these people got it. And so it was the coolest experience. And so I actually remember I was on a flight back home from Pittsburgh to back to Phoenix. That's where I lived at the time and sat next to Lissa. And as exhausted as I was from like the high that I was in and then, but also as amped up as I was, it was like, all right, what do we do next? Like this can't end. And so kind of talking with you and Maria of like, all right, let's like, what are we going to do next to make sure that we can really kind of, and that kind of went to the goal of the ultimate goal is to keep the kind of feeling that we had at conference of the connection of the community of finding people that felt like they totally got it and being able to kind of one, learn from each other and then to be able to lean on each other as like things got rough or we were learning new things or went through roller coasters of life. New jobs, new relationships, new dogs, new all of it. Being able to have people around us that got it. And I mean, I would say that was what I always envisioned the goal to be because that's what I needed at the time. And gosh, I mean, 10 years later, I still need that and still lean on this community for all the questions and things as new things happen. But I would say still true. This is still the spot that I lean for all that.
I love that so much. I mean, I think it's so very true. And I love that you, because one of the things I was going to ask, and this wasn't even on our planned agenda, but to kind of have you and I give snapshots of how we became a part of this community, how we met each other and some of that as well, because I think there are people here, whether you've been on 50 calls or not, Jessica and I don't always share that. So, I mean,
I do think our goals of this call, whether it's personal goals or public community goals, have shifted only slightly. I mean, to your point, they're largely the same. I would say when I went to that Pittsburgh conference, I was very fresh in terms of my LHON story. I first heard the acronym LHON in February of that year, and that June was kind of chatting and sharing my story in front of everyone, a story that you can, that I can still rewatch on YouTube today. Which is crazy to think back that that was 10 years ago when I was sharing that story and doing okay. I was very fortunate and privileged and blessed, despite going through a very difficult time in my life, to have some things and such a wonderful support system and community that was lifting me up. And I was very glad to have found this community as well, because as many of our veteran or tenured LHON family members would tell you, when they lost their vision, maybe decades and decades and decades ago, before you and I did, Jessica, this community didn't exist. And you needed to learn
totally
your own, as opposed to the benefit we had when we went to that LHON conference for the first time and we were looking at our phones, learning voiceover and teaching each other how to zoom in. And we were teaching each other about orientation mobility and how to get in touch with your local lighthouse organizations or how to get plugged into different blind sports leagues, all these kinds, how to learn to make a grilled cheese, which is a story many of here have laughed at me for 10 years ago. All of these things that we get to kind of teach each other quickly allows people to what I often refer to as like find that new normal in their lives quickly. And yes, I think John said it earlier, as you breathe, you hope, and we can all hope for cures and things like this. But as important as that, I think caring for our mental health and making sure we're okay is really important as you go through something like this. And in my mind, finding ways to adapt was my way of making sure I would be okay. And this community played such a pivotal role
for me in that way. I mean, for those who don't know, I started losing my vision in September of 2013, and by December it had moved to my second eye, and by January I stopped driving, and by February the blood work had confirmed everything for me. So that was a shorter story and journey than a lot of people have shared here over the years on these calls. But at the same time, I was reeling through it that February into March, April, May, and then going to that conference in June with my dad. It was a memory that I will always treasure, my dad, who has passed of cancer since then. But those people in my life, including the people who are on this call tonight, meant and mean an awful lot to me. So I just want to say thank you to everyone there. I mean, and with that, Jess, I'll kind of transition here. I mean, I will say initially, a lot of my reason for wanting to have this call is to make sure there weren't things that happened throughout the year or things that people learned that I didn't know about, that I wasn't plugged into. And my goal today is probably more than that, to make sure that anything that I learn about, I'm sharing with other people. As someone who's been a part of this community for a decade and has a lot to share and has a responsibility in some ways to share that. With that, Jess, I'm curious, we'll transition a little bit here. What are some of the tips, tricks, or advice or learning lessons that you have taken from an LHON call sometime over the last 10 years?
Ooh, you like transitioned to exactly what I was going to bring up. That's awesome. You can tell we've been co-hosts for 10 years together. That's right. So I would say, and I mean, especially speaking honestly directly to some of the people, some of our first time callers tonight, and is that when I first was diagnosed, I really wanted to learn, like, was I going to be okay? Two, what was next for me? Like, was I still going to get to do the life that I dreamed of? And what was I going to do for work? What was all these new things going to look like for me? I remember I was driving home. I always love to drive, and my mom was driving with me. And so I pulled over and asked her to drive home. And so she knew that was super weird. I had just put a down payment on a condo and backed out from all of that and packed all my boxes and moved back home. And at that moment, I was just like, what is this even going to be for me? And what does this even look like? And gosh, 10 years later, I live in a completely different state and a completely different place than my parents and just do my thing. And but I needed to hear it from the community that, like, yes, there were people out there that were out there doing really cool jobs and were super successful doing what they love and living on their own and having families and doing all that cool stuff. So I think that's what I needed to learn in here. And I think that's one of the coolest things of, I would say, tips and tricks and things that I learned is just learning and kind of hearing from other people how they do life. And honestly, it's just a little differently, but everyone does life, and everyone does the life that they want or strive to. And I think that's one of the coolest things. In the sense of tips and tricks, I feel so, I don't want to say the basic, because I feel like that's a cool trendy word that I don't know, because I'm not that cool. But I feel very basic for the tips and tricks that I think, like, literally make my life easier. And I say basic because it's just the fundamentals of losing vision and having LHON. It's bump dots. It's rubber bands around my shampoo and conditioner. I put the rubber band around the shampoo and no rubber band around the conditioner. I just have to feel for one. Then I can not double condition my hair, which is lovely. I have bump dots. I'm standing in front of my kitchen right now and I have a bump dot on the 5 and a bump dot on the start and the at 30 seconds. And you know, if you press one of those, something great's going to happen. So I can heat that up pretty fast. And I safety pin my socks together, which is, I think, something you taught me, Andy. You were telling me you safety pin your socks together, and I was like, oh, that's genius. And so always the ones that don't get safety pinned, I 100% don't match, and I always get called out for it at the gym. So that's fun. And I put toothpaste directly in my mouth instead of on the toothpaste or on the toothbrush. And that's, like, probably the 4 fundamental tips that make me successful, which is pretty funny. I would say losing vision has taught me to be very methodical and very considerate. So I say that in the sense of when I open the door, I honestly, like, open the door knowing that I always pay attention to my surroundings, and I'll open the door for somebody. And I actually will kind of follow their mannerisms. So to kind of be aware of entering and exiting doors. When I am in a brand new apartment, I will count steps and really kind of count my tracks, so I know exactly where the trash is, where exactly the front desk is. And I'll kind of just make sure I can, I learned those paths pretty well. For my mailbox, it's obviously a sea of mailboxes, similar to like a post office, area. I know I'm, three over and four down. So I just kind of, and obviously now I can find it pretty easy, but I count. There's a lot of counting. But it's just being really thoughtful. And I always say it's future proofing for myself. So as long as I can kind of make little steps that make things a little bit easier, that's kind of what makes me go, I would say go a little bit faster than I did in the past. So those are some of my favorites.
Blue wallet.
Oh yes. And blue wallet. Well, I have a lot of blue things. I would say I went from a kitchen full of blue dishes and I think I've graduated. I actually have clear glasses, which is kind of a shock, but I went from blue wine glasses and blue plates and blue everything. And now it's just little things in my life that are blue, which are wallets. So yeah, those are, if I need to find something pretty quick, like a wallet, it's definitely got to be blue.
You said wallets. How many wallets do you own, Jessica?
Oh, well, I mean, I got a couple purses, a couple bags, you know, it's like a thing.
My wallet's actually blue as well, which I don't even know that was very purpose because I'm not someone who necessarily sees LHO in blue better than other colors. I don't know if for those folks who are familiar with what we call LHO in blue sometimes, but that's the color of that LHO in live logo, which we made a decade ago, believe it or not. I know there are some other things we plan to talk about here at the top of the call as well. I'll chat through a little like interesting things I've learned. I mean, a lot of it's taking back to like even the earliest days of meeting guest speakers and just hearing their stories. And they aren't necessarily things that are like very tangible, like, oh, I learned this day, as much as through absorbing all of the stories that we have over the past decade, a confidence and excitement about the possibilities as a person who doesn't have perfect vision like other people. And I think that's really meaningful to kind of have visibility to all of those narratives. I've always known about my own story. I live in the New York City area now. I didn't do that previously. I lived in Florida when we started this call. I was doing a certain kind of work and I still do similar-ish work, but I don't feel pigeonholed to that work in any way as a result of everything. From a technology perspective, I've used different techniques over the years, from JAWS and Zoom text to magnifiers and iPads and everything under the sun in order how to get to work using a cane, taking public transportation, doing all these types of things. Traveling alone is something that I've always done very independently, even since losing my vision. Even just recognizing the impact of walking around with a cane and having the both confidence to do that and be myself and recognize things that are helpful to me, but also recognizing that like giving that visibility to this community in a way that I feel is a fantastic thing to do is something that I take very seriously. I mean, I was volunteering earlier today at a back to school initiative for low income families. And one of the very young moms was there with her son and she came to me and said, "Are you blind?" Because she saw my cane. And I said, "Yes." She said, "I think it's so cool that you're here volunteering." And I like that. And that's something that I've probably gotten from this community. Just the weight of the responsibility that I hold in a really proud way to represent this community everywhere I go. And it's something that I don't take lightly and that I'm really proud to do. I didn't plan on talking about that necessarily, but I think it's really, really cool. I mean, then there are other things that we've taken from this call. I think we mentioned it in the notes, but in terms of fan mail, Jessica and I haven't gotten tons of that over the years. I think we've gotten two or three emails to our Gmail account that we set up a decade ago. And I was sent one gift from a guest speaker ever, a tactile Rubik's Cube. You know who you are. I really appreciate that.
so great.
I just want to say thank you to them, but also, like, there's so much that we've gained from this community as well. Jessica, the other things you kind of want to highlight before we kind of we'll open things up to others in just a moment. But
yeah, just one more thing to add. Wait, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Awesome.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Yeah. One more thing I just wanted to add is that, like, I think what's also really cool about this call is that just by listening in and kind of being an observer sometimes as a host, which sounds odd, but being able to kind of sit back and listen, there's sometimes you're hearing something and you might not be ready for it. And I say that, like, in a big context in the sense of just, like, just getting diagnosed, but also, like, new things and maybe not being ready for it. And I'm taking this to a very simple explanation, like, and you talked a lot about, like, seeing, you talk about movies, we hear about different people's experiences, and all of them are super cool. And to me, I'm like, yes, that is really cool, but no, I'm not going to do that, which is, it's great to hear the experience, but it's kind of like something that you just, when you're ready for. And I know it's something super little and it's something nothing crazy, but I was so pumped. I honestly went to the movies 100% solo with my assistive tech and with my brand new, like, $2.50 headphones from Amazon. And it was the most freeing, liberating experience because, first of all, the signs to get to the movie theater were so gigantic, I could see them. So when someone asked me if I needed help finding my theater, I was like, nope, I can see those numbers. And when I walked in, had my cane, walked in, there was someone sitting next to me and they're like, is there anything I can help you? And I was like, yes, where's the seat? Because it was dark. And I sat there and ate my popcorn and used the assistive tech in the movie theater. And I just enjoyed the movie and walked out and I walked myself home. And I know we talk about those things all the time, like movies and just like little experiences, but just hearing it from other people and hearing how fun and easy and what a great experience it was. And now that I could just pull it out of my back pocket and then experience myself, it's pretty cool. So, I mean, yes, something super as easy as a movie theater, but just hearing people's experiences and being able to either like take it and learn from it and, or maybe using it later is just also one of the things that's so cool here. So back pocket the things that you're not ready for, but just know that we're a resource, when you are.
It's so weird to hear you kind of talk about this because, like, I realize there are some people on these calls who think about me as like, oh, someone who goes to the movies all the time because I do, and or someone who skis all the time because I certainly enjoy that. And yet I've been legally blind for a decade and do both of those more than I did a decade ago. But the things that kind of stick out in our own minds are the things like we absorb, not necessarily things that we share with people. I mean, for that reason, the stories that kind of are most meaningful to me are when we have people who are newer to this community here. And when we have a call where Jessica, you and I talk here at the beginning and then later on in the call, like we watch this community that we've been a part of, not a community that we created, but a community that we've been able to be a part of for a decade, help others in a way where I get to just mute myself and listen for a long time as people help other people and offer guidance and schedule follow-up calls to connect even further after the LHON live call ends. So those are things that are really, really meaningful to me to kind of see that impact, although we don't always even see it all the way to the end, but just knowing it's happening is really meaningful to me.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, with that, I will share only because I want to, as we kind of open some of this up, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to everyone. I know I've said it a little bit, but as a result of some of the transitions, we will be having some slight changes to LHON Live, a little bit moving forward. It's very similar focus as you've seen over the past few months, as you've seen a lot of us transition to calls where either Jessica or myself, Jess, you are on video, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Just reminding you. And then I want everyone to know that we will continue, as we have in the past few months. Jessica's hosted some calls. I've hosted some calls. I will be taking a step back, which is one of the big reasons I want to say thanks to everyone for everything over the past 10 years. So I will no longer be a permanent host along with Jessica. She will be doing the majority of the hosting along with others who kind of step in to assist her as well. So huge thank you to Jess there. I want to recognize her as a hero of LHON Live in so many ways, but the impact here is profound, and there's so much good that has been done over the last 10 years as a result of this call and the calls that have been off from it. So just want to say thank you. And with that, I will remind everyone that we are still recording this call, so if you have a question or comment that you want to say after the recording has ended, we normally try and make sure to stop the recording around the top of the hour. So that'll be around 15 or 20 minutes from now. But I do want to invite others to join the conversation about LHO and Live in general, or any topics that you may be interested in chatting about tonight. Anything you want to say, Jessica, before we do that?
Yeah, sorry, one more second for me, and then we'll pass it over to everybody else. Is Annie, just thank you. There's been 10 years, and it's just fantastic, the lives that we've touched, but most importantly, the friendship that we've gained. So thank you for sticking by my side for 10 years, for every single month. That's been an absolute blast. And I love that you can mind read me half the time, and I'm miles and miles away. So thank you for being a wonderful co-host, and just keeping LHO alive. So we really appreciate it. Please come back and visit us. And we'll always be so excited to have you back. But thank you for all that you've done for us. And it's been wonderful.
The calls will continue every Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month, same call, same place, everything. So everyone be here. With that, I do want to invite everyone else to be a part of the call. We will, when we open or kind of turn off the recording, remind everyone about future calls later on this month as well. Just let everyone know that is still going to be coming, but want to invite others to be part of the conversation.
Yeah, hi, Andy and Jessica. It's John in Farmington, Connecticut. I said that for Judy's benefit, practically neighbors. I just want to say thank you. And tonight is sort of an anniversary for me. I think the very first call I ever joined was a year after you were into it, in August of 15. So I haven't joined them all, but many of them. And you guys have done a wonderful job. That's quite a record to be on your 121st. So thank you to both of you for making it a lot of fun and a lot of benefit to many, many people over those 10 years.
Thank you, John.
Thanks so much, John.
Well, maybe I can just add something. Something visually related that I encountered about a week ago. Apparently I have early stage cataracts. And so I went to a cataract specialist who was very tuned in to LHON and other types of eyesight limitations. And just, you know, everybody eventually gets cataracts. They are seeing them much more in younger people is what I'm told as well. But clearly even a small cataract can have a larger effect on somebody who already has limited vision. But what's interesting is, I didn't know this, maybe people did, but if you run into this sort of thing and you're headed for cataract surgery, which I think is relatively straightforward these days, they can correct your vision if you have myopia or you're farsighted, they can correct that. And that may not be the thing you want. So if you are contemplating cataract surgery, you need to discuss it with the cataract surgeon, because if you're used to looking at things up close, in other words, you're nearsighted, you know, holding things up close to your face to be able to see them, if you then correct that and you're not able to see up close anymore, that could be a real problem. So just wanted to point that out. I wasn't aware of that myself, and maybe other people might run into that at some point.
John, this is Dennis in downtown Pennsylvania. Does it matter when you do that what genetic version of Leber's you have, or is it all the same? I understand the cataract part, but when you're talking about other things, does the impact of what genetic version of Leber's you have that makes a difference in the long term? That's a heavy question.
Yeah, if I understand your question correctly, I think it probably depends on each individual, because I think one thing I've definitely learned is 4 or 9 years ago when I joined this call and went to conferences, I didn't know anybody who had LHON. But one thing I've really learned is each case for each of us is a little bit different. There are lots of common experiences, but you know, the way we see things and the degree to which our vision is affected varies greatly. In my own case, you know, I've worn glasses since I was a 7-year-old. So, you know, probably for 10 years before I had onset of LHON, and myopia, the nearsightedness, was a very good thing for me, just because I needed to hold things up close to my face, you know, to read.
Right, but was that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but was that based on what version or what genetic version of Leber's you have, or is it just common to all of Leber's?
I'm no medical guy, but I don't think the two things are necessarily related.
Yeah, I would anticipate, to understand your question, that it's not going to be related to your genetic mutation in terms of which genetic mutation you have of LHON. It may, however, be related to the type of remaining vision or usable vision that you still have. And for that reason, I recommend checking with whoever the surgeon would be, but also whichever LHON specialist or neuro-ophthalmologist or anything that you happen to work with before having any kind of surgery related to your eyes in that way. So that's the advice that I would give.
Yeah, that's well put, Andy.
Thanks so much for chiming in, John, and we love to have you here. Thanks so much.
Well, and I appreciate it too, John. This is Dennis, but I guess I'm still a little confused after 8 years of what I was diagnosed with what I call the 484. But I understand there's two other versions, and I guess I'm just asking that generic question of, you know, does it matter what you do for all your experiences and all the things you're talking about, on which version you have, you can cut the experience shorter, or if you realize, you just accept it.
I think our short question is no, we would treat all of those similarly. Now, the main differences in terms of genetic trials and those kinds of things, some may qualify based on genetic mutations, others may not. But in general, we do treat all different types of mutations or LHON mutations the same here, and same as part of the same community. There are folks who have the exact same mutation and have very different vision, as John kind of noted. And there are people who have different mutations that have very different, very similar lived experiences. So the answer to your question, I would say, is no. I wouldn't make decisions in terms of what John is sharing based on a mutation. I would treat it the same. Go ahead.
I was just going to add, Andy, for Dennis's benefit, if the mutation you have is 14484, it sounds like it might be, that is the same one I have. And If you'd like to chat at another time, at, you know, some time during the next week or so, just you and I, I'd be glad to chat so we can connect possibly if you'd like to do that.
Well,
exactly.
Bo. Who was that? I'm sorry to interrupt. Bo?
No, that's John Knox.
Yeah.
Oh, John, I'm sorry. Yes. Not on video. I'm on the call. Sorry.
Okay.
It's hard to.
That's okay.
There. No, totally thanks. I'll connect you here
on the call as well, especially for new folks to the call. We're talking a lot about mutations here. There are three primary mutations of LHON. I would clarify
that's what I'm asking. Yes. Yeah, sure.
There are other mutations outside of those three that have smaller prevalence that are still part of LHON, especially for those folks newer to it. A lot of this information can be found on our LHON.org page. But appreciate the questions and the conversation. Would love to welcome others to the conversation, too. If you have any questions, they can be related to this, but they also can be related to other things related to the history of LHON Live or questions that are just on your mind.
Is there anyone on the call right now that has the mutation that only affects one eye?
John, this is Lisa. There's no such thing like that. There are some individuals who might be affected in only one eye, but that's not because they have a certain mutation. There's no mutation that's a one-eye mutation. It's just some people do, for whatever reason, go a very long time before the second eye becomes involved. But it's like, it could be this mutation, it could be that mutation. It's just an unusual, highly unusual presentation of the disease. Could happen with any mutation.
Well, thank you.
Well, we haven't said it yet, and it's our fault here, but because you chimed in, Lisa, we owe you a huge amount of gratitude as well for being a resource to us over the years, as well as a benefit and springboard to making a lot of this happen from the logistics and everything else. So thank you for what you've meant to this call over the past 10 years and what you continue to mean to this call.
My pleasure. Appreciate you for all the hosting you've done. I mean, seriously, and Andy, honestly, the amount of hours that you have put into this, it's unbelievable. And the, you know, what it has meant to the community that everybody just knows, you know, it's like when this all now I can't imagine it not being here, but when it didn't exist, it didn't exist. And, you know, everybody was just dealing with it on their own. And the fact that you and Maria at the time and for many years and Jessica and have kept it going, but just to know that every month everybody knows. And as people have come to the community, you know, no matter where you are in the world or where you are in the journey, first Wednesday of every month, there's going to be a group of people and you can go there and you can listen to some folks that are, you know, dealing with it, and who knows where the conversation will go. And then the recording will go off. And if you need to cry and ask the hard questions, there's people that'll listen. And, you know, just knowing that this exists has made such a difference in so many people's lives. And along the way, it's been fun. We've laughed. We've gotten to know each other. You know, we've learned so much. It's amazing what you've made happen through having this. And one of the things that I think has evolved, which has been so cool, is, you know, I think back to when you guys first started, and, you know, I think the relationship that you and Jessica have cracks me up. And y'all talk about how you became such good friends in Pittsburgh. And like Jessica had to figure out how to do, you know, makeup. And she would talk to you, Andy, because, you know, you understood it. Yes. As a blind friend more than her, you know, female friends who weren't, you know, LHO envisioned. And that's one of the things I do love about the evolution of things is, you know, now we do have an LHO unaffected women group, and, you know, so we've grown and we've been able to, you know, have moms and dads and, you know, sisterhood. And, but it doesn't mean it isn't still a great thing to have this place where we can all kind of come together and, you know, like, this is just like home. This is home. And then we have all our other spots. And I'm just so grateful to you for doing it and for the community writ large. And then also personally, right? I mean, you know how important it was for me when my daughter was affected, and knowing that you had learned so much and I could send her to you and you could counsel her and you could share what you'd learned over the years. And, you know, so for the whole community and personally, thank you.
Lisa, I can't begin to make you feel the amount of gratitude that you just made me feel, but I just want to echo that sentiment. I mean, I have so many people here who 10 years ago I would have called LHO and friends, and who I today just call friends, and that means a lot. Jessica is certainly one of those. Lisa, you are one of those as well, and I'm here for folks that I can still be a benefit to. And I'm just so glad that there are so many more people part of this community now who can be a benefit in the way that many of us have been over the past decade and even prior to when we began this call. So, this is so fun. Others on the call who want to say anything. We are approaching the top of the hour, so we will be sharing, upcoming calls and dates and everything like that in the next few minutes, but I want to allow the conversation to continue.
Well, for Judy Little's information, Lissa's middle name is Encyclopedia. So,
good to know.
direct your information or your questions to Miss Lisa. She'll have an answer for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I have a million questions, but I think as we're coming to the end, I probably won't bring them up tonight. But listening to you all has been very, very helpful. So I do appreciate the time and looking forward already to next month.
I think I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Is it Puhr, P-U-H-R, John?
Yes. Sure.
You mentioned a clinical trial. Was that you who mentioned the clinical trial? Where and when is that going to happen?
It was happening since last Halloween.
Oh.
And it was with Neurop. It was a gene therapy for mutation 3460.
Oh.
I was supposed to be the next patient, test crash dummy. But about a week before, this was about a month ago, 2 months ago, the University of Colorado at Aurora, the clinical coordinator called I didn't call, he emailed, he said they terminated the study. And it was a very cryptic.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, it was just because of our strategic decision. I was like, I'm going, did I dodge a bullet?
Well, there's a neurological ophthalmologist in Seattle named Dr. May who diagnosed me 4 years ago. And he told me there was going to be a clinical trial out of the University of Washington University Hospital. And if I didn't hear from him, then they didn't receive their funding. And I never heard from him. So,
I stalk beta.clinicaltrials.gov. And I send I contact my neuro-ophthalmologist here in Wisconsin about every year. Anything new coming up? I do get a kick out of hearing about Neuralink from Elon. Maybe someday they'll have the fine hair wires that go into your brain that'll give you the Jordy LaForge glasses, and then you'll be good to go. But I think for the time being, it's not going to be for me. But I've been through two other clinical trials. I did one with MD stem cells and another one with Idebenon. So they got me back from 20 over 800 back to about 20 over 220.
Wow.
Yeah, so anybody that's thinking about a clinical trial, stick. If you get in and you go, this, and you're not finding any adverse effects, stick with it through till the end. Because the first one was a 2-year trial out of Barnes Jewish Christian Hospital, St. Louis, Washington University, St. Louis. I just stuck with it. They said a lot of the other folks dropped out. What else am I going to do on a sunny Thursday morning? My wife's going to drive me down to St. Louis from Wisconsin. We're going to go stay in a nice hotel and come back on the day after. You do learn to appreciate when the pharmaceutical companies pay and they put you up in a nice hotel and they have chocolate chip cookies. It's like, I can persuade my wife, hey, I can have the cookie this time. And she's always like, no sugar for you. I'm like,
yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing that experience, John. I would say, Judy, I know you mentioned you have countless questions and I don't want to force you to go with it, but if you have a burning question you'd like to tap into all of the folks on this call for, we're happy to kind of weigh in a little bit. Otherwise, we can direct you toward proper channels afterwards as well, but want you to know that you are welcome to ask a question if you'd like.
Well, after hearing the clinical trial conversation there, I would like to ask, we actually have one of our first appointments tomorrow morning at 9:40. So hearing all this talk of clinical trials, is that something, because we are just obviously initial diagnosis, is that something that we ask for immediately? Is that something that we wait to see, do they offer us? Or is that something that we ask for and try and push for moving forward?
If I can respond to that one, if you just got diagnosed or your daughter got diagnosed in last day or so today.
Yesterday, literally.
Yeah, especially if you have the genetic test results.
We do.
Yeah, get that package put together or have your neuro-ophthalmologist or whoever you're seeing put the package together, including that result, and then go what clinical trials might fit. And then ask them to look, but you also look. Because a lot of times I find there's I think we have 3 neuro-ophthalmologists now in Wisconsin, but a lot of times it's just they don't reach out to you, so you got to basically advocate for your daughter. You'll have to advocate for your daughter. You go, what do you think about, just shoot them an email if you're on My Chart or My Compass, whatever, the Epic Systems. Phone calls better, in person's best, and go, this is what I'm thinking, what do you think? But if you bring them the clinicaltrials.gov, they'll have a trial number. So
okay.
I use beta.clinicaltrials.gov. I filter by, is it active recruiting or not yet recruiting? And then I try to home in them. I'm 3460 for my mutation. I look for that. And then I send them the list. And I go, which ones? And at the same time, if you go into the clinicaltrials.gov, they'll also have a contact information. So you can also contact them at the same time and go, because you have to see if there's somebody near within range. I found was that I was going to go to France, but I found they won't accept me there in France because I'm not on their national health insurance plan. So that was then there's China. But if you find something in the U.S., I would go pursue them because, what I was told, the first clinical trial, the sooner you can get started, the sooner you stand a better shot at reversing, stopping.
Stop. Really, yeah. It's Lisa. I just would add a couple additional thoughts compared to that. One is, may I ask, which doctor do you know? Which neuro-ophthalmologist are you seeing?
We are seeing Dr. Cantori at Penn State Hershey Med.
Okay. Right now, my understanding is that there are no clinical trials currently recruiting for LHON patients. John did mention an MD stem cells situation. And that one would find that on clinical trials. The LHON experts who have spoken to the LHON community do strongly discourage us from pursuing that path. They feel that it's really not it's not something they think is the right path for patients to go.
I went through it and my vision got better.
Which is great. And I'm glad you did. Would go on record to say that all the LHON experts would guide people away from it, but everyone has their own experience.
Out of pocket too. So
it is out of pocket because it's not really a clinical trial. It's a paid situation. There's no placebo and so forth. But in terms of real clinical trials where that's not a paid situation, there's nothing currently recruiting for LHON. Expect, you can certainly discuss it with a doctor, but I wouldn't expect them to find anything for you because there currently isn't anything recruiting for LHON.
Okay, good to know.
My point was, get the packet prepared as if there were something, your medical packet.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. But I'm just saying, if she's going to the doctor tomorrow,
I'm not going to get the gold
mirror. It's all interesting because there was also sort of an expectation that it has been the belief that immediate treatment would create better outcomes. And yet some of the outcomes have been showing that it isn't necessarily true. And they're trying to figure out the why behind it. And they're wondering, is it because in the early moments you've got inflammation going on? And is it that the treatment is not getting to where it should go? They don't know. But in some of the trials, they're finding surprising outcomes. So it's like unfortunately with LHON, you're going to find that for everything you hear, there's a counter to it. And for what people think is true, it's changing and people are still learning. So it's complicated and you're unfortunately on a journey where you're going to hear things and different points of view and it's an adventure. So
I would chime in here just a little bit, Judy, and tell you that what Lissa's saying there is 1,000% accurate when it comes to like any kind of medical decision being made. I'd at the same time agree with what John said about getting a packet together. And that's not even necessarily for medical decisions or for doctors as much as it is for other things that you and or your daughter may be interested in pursuing, whether those are additional technical training or assistive technology or independent living skills or orientation and mobility or different services that may be available in your
state. There's one other one too, Andy.
Pennsylvania. So definitely encourage a lot of that packet or the information that you'd be collecting there to be able to share with organizations from a medical perspective are the same things you would be sharing with folks for other services.
Asking for test results while you're there, you know, asking for an OCT result, asking for a visual field test result, just because you're going to learn things as you go on and you're going to go, I don't know what that was. But if you walk out of the appointment with a visual field test result, with an OCT test, you don't have to understand it. But if you have it, then you can refer to it as you learn more.
I'm sorry, just real quickly, as you're saying packet, do you mean when we go tomorrow, I need to ask for copies of everything?
I would ask, if I may, I would ask that they keep everything in, if they have an electronic health record system.
They like, do.
To keep everything, because a recent clinical trial that I was trying to get into, that one I've mentioned, they did not have my genetic testing results in there. So I had to get after them. They, by the time they got it, it's like I missed like the first and second waves by the time they got it in there. So,
okay. So if that is not the case, that they're not putting it into a system, do I just do that? Do I just request for a paper copy of everything?
I'd request them to put it in, because when it comes time then to get your records, it's a lot easier just to call. I found it's easier just to call the records department at where my neuro-ophthalmologist is, and they have everything. They have all my labs. They have all.
Okay.
Like
personally, I like walking out of a visit with it in my hot little hand. And
I'm a paper girl.
I'm a paper person. And the other thing I like about it is I went through an experience where the person we'd been seeing for years and years, his entity disassociated from the overseeing entity, and suddenly the doctor didn't have access to the records. And then I tried to get them for myself and my children through the records office, and they didn't provide everything. And it's like, it was just easier at every visit to grab the paper and walk out with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's actually getting prepared to retire in the next month.
So if you have the paper records,
we will have to switch from him to someone new.
But
okay,
it can't hurt. Okay, have the paper, also have it electronically, because
John, we've got that. Yeah, I am gonna.
More is better.
I know folks may be wanting to jump. I want to be able to share some information for any folks who do have to do that with them. Information about future calls, and again, when we turn the recording off, this conversation can't continue, but I do want to be able to kind of share some of this information. So Jessica, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and share about upcoming calls. Does that work for you?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Perfect. I just do want to remind folks, there were a couple other calls earlier this week. One, navigating education. Let me show you how that one. Navigating education. That was earlier this week as well. And then there was a call yesterday on LHO and affected teens. Just like to remind people about the other calls that exist, even if they aren't upcoming. Tonight's LHO and Live, as you all know, there's an LHO and affected young adults call, which is Tuesday, August 13th at 5 p.m. Pacific. So same time as this call. And just to remind anyone who's never called into any of the other calls, they all use the exact same Zoom link. So that one is, as I said, next Tuesday, August
13th. Then the next call after that one is a navigating employment call. That is Wednesday, August 14th, same time, 5 p.m. Pacific. The next call is a Midwest Connect call. So folks in that Midwest region, many callers actually tonight from that Midwest region, actually. That one's on Monday, August 19th at 7 p.m. Central. The next call is a New England Connect. That one's Tuesday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern. The next one is a combo of Southwest and Pacific Northwest Connect call. That one will be on Tuesday, August 20th, again at 7 p.m. Pacific, so for that local time. A Dads of LHO Unaffected, Kids of All Ages, so a dad's call. That was one of the earlier affinity group calls we started. That one will be Wednesday, August 21st at 5 p.m. Pacific, so same time as this call. The next call is an LHO and Assistive Technology call on Monday, August 26th at 5 p.m. Pacific, so same time as this call again. And that is all we have for the month of August. Again,
actually, real quick, Andy, I left off of the email by mistake, but I'll get the next one out in time. But spouses and spouse equivalents is on August 27th at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that. Just to remind everyone, the way you can get these emails that have all the information I just shared is by kind of signing up at LHON.org, making sure your email is plugged in there, and you will get all of these emails each month. Jessica, were you saying something there?
No, Andy, this is Paul Laurie. Jerry was saying from another room, thanking Lisa for mentioning the spouse call.
Oh, of course.
Jerry leads the spouse call, so yeah, or co-leads it.
Well, I'm sorry it was left off in the email, but happy to make sure that it was announced here. And as everyone knows, these LHO and live calls are always the first Wednesday of every month. Next month, we will have our 122nd call, which is wild to think. That will be September 4th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. This exact same call. I'm getting ready to turn the recording off, but I just want to say huge thank you to everyone who was here tonight. Huge thank you to everyone who listens after the fact. Really, really, really appreciate you all. Jess, anything else you'd like to say before I turn the recording off and allow the conversation to continue?
Just a final thank you to you, Andy. Thank you for being with us for 10 years, and it's been fantastic. Thank you.
I'll echo that, John, from Florida, just thanking you both for doing this. It's a great thing that you do. Great community.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
With that, the...